This morning, I'd like for us to talk about baptism. It's going to be a different approach. We are used to hearing about baptism in the sense that we are trying to help people obey the gospel, be baptized. And as a result, we hear many lessons that tell us how baptism helps us. And through those lessons, we have learned that baptism is for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Through those lessons, we have learned that baptism washes away our sins, as Paul was told in Acts 22 and verse 16. Not only that, but we have learned that through those lessons that baptism, or through baptism, we put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. And we have also learned that through baptism, we are saved. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 and Mark 16 and verse 16. And we have learned through those lessons that through baptism, Jesus adds us to his church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 47. But this morning, I'd like to take a different approach concerning the subject of baptism. I'd like to talk about what baptism won't do for you. What baptism won't do for you. Because there's a lot of misconceptions flying out in the church. And you'd be surprised how many people have a lot of misconceptions concerning baptism. They think that they are baptized, and all of a sudden they get the wrong idea and they start doing things, and they thought that baptism took care of those things. And we're going to talk a little bit about those things this morning. So number one, I want you to consider that baptism won't give you a license to sin. There's a lot of people in the church who embrace the once saved, always saved doctrine, but with a different twist. You see, the usual is, in denominations, people say, well, once I confess Christ as my personal Savior, once I accepted him as my personal Savior, I was saved and nobody can take away my salvation. Well, in the church, you will find people that think that, well, I have been baptized, I am in the right church, and therefore I can do whatever I want and be okay with it. You know, a lot of people embrace that type of approach concerning baptism, that kind of erroneous thinking. And a lot of them even say, and I've heard them say, well, I'm in the right church, I've been baptized in the right church, and if I repent later, I'm different, I'm unique. See, you see those people there, they say they're in a denomination. And they can repent all they want, but they're in the wrong church. I'm in the right church, and so I can do whatever I want, repent later, and then be okay with it. That's not what the Bible teaches, brethren. If you recall the passage that was read earlier, Romans 6, 1 through 4, in verse 1, Paul starts asking a question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Obviously, the answer is no, you cannot. Obviously, sometimes we will sin out of weakness. We don't know when we'll sin, but we do not have a license to sin, brethren, because if we did so, then we would be enslaving ourselves to sin again. We would be becoming slaves of sin. Jesus himself said in John chapter 8 and verse 34 that those who commit sin are what? Slaves to sin. So baptism, brethren, does not give us a license to sin. On the contrary, once we die to sin, once we've been buried in baptism, in the death of Christ, and arise to walk in newness of life, our bodies should be dead to sin. We shouldn't be wanting to commit sin. On the contrary, we should be wanting to let Christ reign in our bodies and obey him. Do works of righteousness and not sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says something interesting. And let us go there for a moment. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says the following. We cannot sin, and baptism does not give us a license to sin. And verse 16 says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? And verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in it, you should obey it in its lust. Brethren, baptism does not give us a license to sin. We should die to sin. because we have been crucified together with Christ, and it is no longer I or sin that lives within us, but Christ lives in us. And we must understand that. There's a lot of people who think, well, I've been baptized, I'm in the right church, I can do whatever I want. That's not the case, brethren. Baptism does not give us a license to sin. That's number one. Number two, baptism won't keep temptation away from you. And now I want you to understand this. Being tempted is not a sin. Yielding to temptation, that's when you sin. Let us turn to James chapter 1, verse 13 and following. James chapter 1, verses 13 through following, and you will see what I'm talking about. Being tempted is not really a sin, but when you yield to temptation, when you give in to sin, that's when you commit sin, and obviously the consequences of sin is death. James chapter 1, verses 13 and following. Notice what it says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. In other words, when you give in to sin, or when you give in into temptation, that's the problem. Being tempted, as the saying goes, there is not a problem for birds to fly over your head. The problem is when you let them build a nest on top of your head. That's when the problem is. But you know what it is, what the truth is. And we should not be troubled if we are tempted and say, oh, I have sinned because I was tempted. No, you are tempted and you say, well, just like Joseph did, you know, run away or do something, but do not give in into temptation. Why? Because sometimes we think, well, I've been baptized, I have obeyed the gospel, now I'm invincible. I'm Mr. Superman. I'm Mr. or Mrs., actually, Superwoman or Supergirl, whatever the case may be. But either way, baptism won't keep temptation away from you. That's something that you're going to have to deal with for as long as you live in this mortal body. As long as you use this body, you will be tempted, but don't give in into temptation. Don't yield to temptation. There's a song, I believe, that's titled Yield Not to Temptation. Why? Because all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble, and then you might suffer the consequences. And it'll be sad if you ended up suffering the eternal consequences of giving in to temptation. So keep that in mind. Baptism won't keep you exempt from being tempted. On the contrary, you will be tempted. If anything, you will be tempted even more. What if you used to smoke and you obey the gospel? You were baptized. What's the first thing you're going to feel like doing? One last cigarette, right? The last one. That final drink that I wanted to have, I can have it now and then repent later, right? You start getting tempted. If you look at the accounts of Jesus' life in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, you will see that right after Jesus Christ was baptized, he was what? He was tempted. In fact, Mark chapter 1 and verse 12 says that immediately he was tempted. So we will face temptation, brethren, and keep that in mind. Baptism won't keep temptation away from you. On the contrary, you will be tempted even more, but you must remain strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says that God will not tempt us beyond what we can bear or what we are able to bear. But with the temptation or with the trial, he will provide a way of escape. And we must keep that in mind. And after we have survived the temptation or the trial, then we will be crowned with a crown of righteousness, according to James chapter 1 and verse 12. So that's number two. Number three, baptism won't take away the consequences of sin. It will not take away the consequences of sin. Let's say I was a former gangster, and all of a sudden I ended up crippled. What's baptism going to do? Am I going to be baptized just to recover my leg or my arm? No, right? The consequences will remain there. What if I used to smoke? Then I was baptized, and months later I was diagnosed with cancer, lung cancer. Well, I was like, I obeyed the gospel, God. What happened? I thought I was going to be okay. Baptism will not remove the consequences of sin. If a fornicator goes around fornicating a lot, and catches a venereal disease, what's going to happen? Is baptism going to take that away? It will not take it away. And you might think, Brother Douglas, you're exaggerating a little. I've heard testimonies where I used to come from, or where I used to worship, where people claim I was healed the moment I was accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I was healed from AIDS. People make that claim. I was healed, etc., etc., etc. You know, a lot of diseases supposedly go away the moment they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And some people may think, well, if I'm baptized, then my diseases will go away. The consequences of sin will go away. I will not go to jail. I will not have to go through this or have to go through that. Baptism will not remove the consequences of sin. I believe there is only one consequence that baptism will do away with. And that's if you remain faithful unto death. And the consequence that it will remove is eternal damnation. But what happens? You have to remain faithful unto death. Otherwise, it won't remove that consequence either, because you have not done what God has required of you in order for you to remain saved. Yes, we receive salvation, but we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling, according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. So number three won't take away the consequences of sin. And there's a proverb that I'd like to read before we move on to the next point. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. If you do something, it's going to have consequences. And if those consequences are permanent, then you're going to have to deal with them. Baptism will not take away those consequences of sin. Proverbs 6, 27 and 28. And I mean, if you think about it, it's common sense. It says, verse 27 and 28 of Proverbs chapter 6, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared?" Only a drunk guy thinks he's Superman and he can do all kinds of stuff. But if even a drunk guy knows that if he puts his hand on the fire, he will get burned. Why? Because there are consequences. And it is the same with sin. If you mess with sin, you're going to get burned. And if the scars or the consequences are big, then you're going to have to deal with those consequences and just try to accept reality and go on with your life trying to serve God the best you can. So baptism will not take away the consequences of sin. Now, number four. Baptism won't take away problems and sufferings. A lot of people, they come to God because they want to stop suffering. There's a Brazilian sort of evangelical, charismatic type of mix movement going on. It's here in the Miami area. It's in Argentina. I even went and inquired of them what techniques they had to evangelize people there. And either way, this group, their lema or slogan, forgot the term there, but their favorite phrase is, "Stop suffering. Give us a call, we'll pray for you, and you will stop suffering. Come to Jesus, and you will stop suffering." Is that true? Is that a true statement? Is that what the Bible teaches? Obviously, that's not what the Bible teaches. And you can read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 that, "Yea, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer" what? Persecution. We will suffer persecution. In fact, Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 says that through much tribulation, we will enter the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it will take a lot of suffering on our part. Some suffer more than others. Obviously, we're not going to deny that. But it will take suffering in order, it will take us suffering a little bit. It will take us bearing a cross before we can get to wear the crown of life. So in other words, baptism will not take away problems and sufferings. We need to make sure that we understand that. Let us turn to 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10. Sometimes we get this, we take it personal when we suffer, and we say, "Well, this shouldn't be happening to me. I became a Christian, and I don't know why God is not helping me." and we think that we're all by ourselves, but really, we're not by ourselves. God is with us, and all we need to do is endure patiently all the trials that we encounter in life. 1 Peter 5, 8 and following says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, be perfect you, a while perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In other words, we will suffer, yes, but it'll be for a while. And Romans 8:18 says that the sufferings that we experience are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in the last days. So in other words, baptism will not take away problems and sufferings. Also, baptism won't make up for the lack of faith, repentance, and confession. There was a situation at the first congregation that I worked with. We were discussing a series on baptism, and obviously this subject came up. And there were a lot of brethren in that church that were baptized when they were younger, 12, 13 years of age. And they did it because their friends were doing it. And we had a leader there, and he now is an active member, quote-unquote. And he's an active member, quote-unquote, and he preaches and he teaches and all. But he was saying during the class at that time when we were discussing this same subject, he was saying, "Well, I know I didn't know what the gospel was. I know I did it because my friends did it. But I was baptized, and that's like a seal. And then I can learn, and then I can just get my life right. No, I was not faithful at first. I was not faithful, but then I corrected myself and I just continued, and I believe that my baptism was valid." Is that what the Bible teaches? That's not what the Bible teaches. Baptism is not some sort of a special seal, and let's get everybody baptized and then we can worry about teaching them. There's that false doctrine going on based on Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. It says, "Make disciples, baptizing them." Okay, that means some say we get people in the water, and then we get to teach them. No, people have to know what they're doing and why they're doing it. They have to know the gospel, which is very basic information. And then once they understand the gospel, they believe it with all their heart, and they are willing to repent from the heart and willing to confess Jesus, then they can be baptized to the forgiveness of their sins, or in order to obtain forgiveness of sins. But baptism is not something that will say, okay, some sort of seal that we put into people, and then they can learn or get their life straightened. And it is sad to say, and it saddens my heart, that up to this day, that gentleman still teaching, preaching, apparently an active member in the church, but his baptism was not valid from the beginning. And he still holds to the idea very strongly that even though he didn't know what he was doing, he's still okay because right now he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. I guess I could say he's acting like a Christian even though he's not really a Christian. We can act like something we're not when we're not. I don't know if I'm making sense, but we can act like a Christian, but we're not necessarily a Christian. A lot of people go to church. A lot of people worship God. A lot of people read the Bible, study it, etc., etc., but they have not obeyed the gospel the right way. And this is what's happened to this gentleman. And unfortunately, he won't admit that, you know, in order for a baptism to be valid, it must be predicated upon a genuine faith, genuine repentance, and genuine confession of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So baptism won't make up for the lack of faith, repentance, and confession. Then baptism won't turn a sinful relationship into a righteous one. If you are not a Christian yet, and you are with a woman that is not lawful for you to have her, then just because you are baptized later on doesn't mean that you can keep that person. A lot of people think that way. You know, John the Baptist told Herod that he could not have Herodias, if I got her name correctly. He said, "You cannot have her. It's not lawful for you to have her." And a lot of people say, "Well, I've been baptized. I've been washed away from all my sins. I've been forgiven of my sins. And now I can keep my mate. No, you can't. If that was the case, then here's the answer that John the Baptist should have given Herod. Well, Herod, it's not lawful for you to have this woman, but, you know, we can solve this. Go get baptized, and then you can keep her, right? Then we can do that with everybody. If there's a homosexual here living with his mate, then we can say, well, it's not lawful for you to have that relationship, but go get baptized, and you'll be okay, right? But a lot of people, well, that's because that's homosexual. It doesn't make a difference. Homosexuality is a sin. Adultery is a sin. And we need to keep that in mind. Baptism will not turn a sinful relationship into a righteous one. And we need to understand that, or else we're going to just be dipped in water. We need to make changes. And one of the changes is to cut those sinful relationships. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, real quick. If we go there, obviously we'll see some examples of sinful people. And Paul says something very interesting about them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Actually, through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And people say, well, see, such were some of you, and now I'm not like that anymore because I've been washed. That's not the case, because if that applied to you in particular, then it would apply to the homosexual also. And obviously, we know that's not the case. So, such were some of you means that they used to live like that, but they made the necessary changes in order for them to obey the gospel and in order for them to start living for Christ and not themselves. So, baptism will not turn a sinful relationship into a righteous one. And I wish we had more time to go into more detail and explain this, but let me give you the final one. Baptism won't save you against your will. That's right. A lot of parents, back in the old days and even nowadays, sometimes they force their children. You need to be baptized. You need to be baptized. You need to be baptized. And the kid was like, I really don't want to, but I'm going to do it. You know, parents, teach your children, but don't push them to obey the gospel. Try to put the little lovely pressure, if you would, and tell them, you know, this is good for you, and try to teach them, but don't try to push them into being baptized, because baptism will not save them against their will. If they don't want to do it, if they're not ready to do it, then if you push them and they're baptized, guess what? Their baptism is not going to be valid either, because baptism will not save people against their will. They must be willing to obey the gospel on their own. Notice what Romans chapter 6, going to Romans 6, verse 17 through 18 says. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Paul tells the Romans the following words. Romans 6, 17 through 18. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet, notice, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Yet you obeyed from the heart. Not you obey because your parents pushed you. Not you obey because your wife kept pounding on you. I believe Brother Jackson wrote an article concerning baptism. And I cannot remember the title of it, but he gave an example of how a gentleman went forward and was baptized, and as soon as he got out of the water, he looked at his wife and said, are you happy now? It's like, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to work in Judgment Day. Baptism will not save people against their will. And we need to keep those facts in mind, and that way we'll be able to better appreciate baptism, the gospel overall, and when we're ready to obey it, we will obey it. So I'd like to take the time to encourage you that if you have not obeyed the gospel yet, if you have not been baptized into Christ, and you have not been added by Jesus Christ to his church, the church of Christ, then we encourage you to obey it from the heart, to obey it and be part of the body of Christ. Perhaps you already obeyed it, but you have not been faithful. We encourage you to make things right with God also. Or perhaps you did not obey it the right way. We need to make sure that we need to make our calling and election a sure thing. And this is your chance that if you didn't do it the right way, that you do it the right and biblical way. We will stand up and sing a song of invitation, and those who wish to respond to the invitation are welcome to do so, because today is the day of salvation. Thank you.